हरिः ॐ सहनौ भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so then Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 6, The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So now the Atmarama verse. Verses 184 to 199 on page 157. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told him, "Do not be astonished. Actually, devotional service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest perfection of human activity. Even the self-satisfied sages perform devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Such are the transcendental qualities of the Lord. They are full of inconceivable spiritual potency. Those who are self-satisfied and unattracted by external material desires are also attracted to the loving service of Sri Krishna, whose qualities are transcendental and whose activities are wonderful. Hari, the personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendentally attractive features." Footnote 40. This is the famous Atmarama verse 1710. After hearing the Atmarama verse, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya addressed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "My dear sir, please explain this verse. I have a great desire to hear your explanation of it," right? Because he'll already have an explanation of it according to Mayavad philosophy. But now that he's, heard about the actual proper understanding and how to directly deal with these things, now he's asking, "Okay, well, how would you explain this?" "My dear sir, please explain this." Okay. The Lord replied, "First, let me hear your explanation. After that, I shall try to explain what little I know." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then began to explain the Atmarama verse. And according to the principles of logic, he put forward various propositions. The Bhattacharya explained the Atmarama verse in nine different ways on the basis of scripture. After hearing this explanation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, smiling a little, began to speak. Srila Prabhupada, "The Atmarama verse was discussed at Naimisharanya at a meeting of many great sages, headed by Shaunaka Rishi. They questioned Srila Suta Goswami, who presided at the meeting, about why Srila Sukadeva Goswami, a Paramahamsa already in the transcendental position, was attracted to a discussion of the qualities of Krishna. In other words, they wanted to know why Sri Sukadeva Goswami engaged in the study of Srimad Bhagavatam." See, because when you're dealing on this intellectual platform, then that intellectual engagement is considered the highest, because in the material world, it's the highest. So it's natural that one would think that's the highest in the spiritual platform. But if the material world's a reflection, that means everything is reversed. So whatever's the highest here will be the lowest on the transcendental side. So therefore, the top here is coming to that liberated platform. So that means that's where the spiritual it begins there. It's at the bottom level. That's just like the existence. That's like trying to get out of the water onto a boat. And your goal is to get out of the water onto the boat, and you think once you get onto the boat, that's it. You don't have to do anything. You'll just eternally be happy being out of the water on the boat. But when you get on the boat, then you start to notice that there's all kinds of people on the boat, and they're doing things on the boat, and they're interacting, and there's, exchanges, and there's relationships and all that. And so then one sees there's more to being on the boat than just being on the boat. Right, there's the whole relationship. So the spiritual world is like that. So they want to know why, because generally among scholars, the scholarly pursuit, they always consider themselves the top. Therefore, then, they want to know is why is it that he's such a great personality, already liberated? why would he go for this? What's the specialty? 2.6, 191 to 192. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Bhattacharya, you're exactly like Brihaspati, the priest of the heavenly kingdom. Indeed, no one within this world has the power to explain the scriptures in such a way. My dear Bhattacharya, you have certainly explained this verse by the prowess of your vast learning, but you should know that, besides the scholarly explanation, there is another purport to this verse." Right? So he's given the various technical points and what each word means and how you can use different grammar, and by the different grammatical things you can get different meanings, you know, or how you different break the words. You could actually take the words and how you break them, end up with different kinds of words, get different meanings. And so he's pointing out that getting 9 different meanings out of one verse, then it's Brihaspati could do that. You know, you'd have to be very, very expert to do that. Someone might get 1, 2 like this. But he's saying, even though you've done this, there's still another way to approach this. Srila Prabhupada writes in his teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 26. Bhattacharya then began to explain the Atmarama Shloka, using his methods of logic and grammar. Thus he explained the Atmarama verse, Atmarama Shloka, in 9 different ways. The Lord appreciated his erudite scholarship in explaining the verse and said, "My dear Bhattacharya, I know that you are a representative of the learned scholar Brihaspati and can explain any portion of the Shastras nicely. Yet your explanation is more or less based on academic education only. Aside from this academic scholarly approach, there is another explanation." 2.6, 193 to 197. Upon the request of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain the verse. Without touching upon the 9 explanations given by the Bhattacharya, there are 11 words in the Atmarama verse. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained each word one after another. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took each word specifically and it combined it with the word Atmarama. Thus he explained the word Atmarama in 18 different ways. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, his different potencies, and his transcendental qualities all have inconceivable prowess. It is not possible to explain them fully. These 3 items, the Lord, his potencies, and his qualities, attract the mind of a perfect student engaged in spiritual activities and overcome all other processes of spiritual activity." Srila Prabhupada. Spiritual activities other than bhakti yoga are divided into 3 categories. Speculative activity conducted by the Jnana Sampradaya, learned scholars. Fruitive activity conducted by the general populace according to Vedic regulations. And the activities of transcendentalists not engaged in devotional service. There are many different branches of these categories, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable potencies and transcendental qualities, attracts the mind of the student engaged in the activities of karma, jnana, yoga, and so forth. So these are the 3 main categories. Like you said, you can get so many like subdivisions and combinations within them and all these different things, but they'll always come back to these principles. Even if one philosophy has, you know, so many different elements to it and that's combined together to make that uniqueness of that particular form, it's still made up of elements that are from these 3. It won't be something else. That's the whole point. You know, it's just like in the material world, you have so many forms that are there and they're so different from each other. Some are very strong, some are very, you know, delicate, some are very big, some very small, some move, some don't, you know, all these things, but they're all made out of 5 elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. They can't be made out of something else. Right? So in the same way as philosophies are like that, are just going to be 3 categories. That's all. These material activities. There's going to be karma, jnana, and yoga. That's it. And then from there, you can have your various combinations as you want, or breakdowns of it, or just part of it, or whatever. So if that's appreciated, then one can start to see is whatever the weakness is in karma, then anything connected with karma will have that weakness. Any weakness in jnana, any kind of intellectual speculation will have that problem. And anybody connected with the yoga, it'll have those weaknesses, you know, and the strengths that are there, then those will be there, whatever it is. And so one has to be very, one can be very comfortable with knowing these things, knowing these understandings, then one can deal with all kinds of philosophies. You don't have to know the whole philosophy. Like when someone would bring, well, Prabhupada, you know, what about this philosophy? And he said, well, and Prabhupada, he doesn't know that philosophy. Or maybe he does, but whatever. But he just says, what do they say? And whatever the devotee would present, you know, that then Prabhupada would comment on. Because that's the whole point, is that everything goes back to those things. Does that make sense?
Maharaj?
Yes.
In the purport of Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning, this says the activity of transcendentalists that engage in devotional service. This is the same as yoga. And after we have karma, jnana, and yoga. Yoga means transcendentalists not engage in devotional service.
Yes, it means that would be the yogi. Because they're meditating on the Lord through meditation, but they're not engaged in devotional service. So if in that meditation, then they take up devotional service, then they would become a devotee. Okay. It means you might have devotees who practice yoga because that happens to be the yoga dharma, you know, but then they'd be doing devotional service. Just like we do activities, physical activity, engaging the senses, and we do activities engaging the intellect. But it's called karma yoga, jnana yoga, like that. I guess the other one would be yoga. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very rare. yoga. Yeah, so because technically you have certain, you know, the philosophy and all that is there, but because it's using all the physical elements in that, it generally gets categorized within it within karma.
Yes.
Right, because only the last two, the dhyana and samadhi, that's yoga rudha.
Yes.
Then those two, you could say, have the higher aspect that they would be a bit more like jnana. But the first six are more like karma. Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, most never get past those first six. Because they just get up to the point where they start to get some yogic siddhis, and then they're going to stop. They're going to be distracted. Mm-hmm. Like that. At least recently. You know, at other ages, maybe they go further. But even then, they all get into the yoga, their mystic siddhis. You know, very, very popular, right? Okay. The Supreme Lord is full of inconceivable potencies which are related to his person, his energies, and his transcendental qualities. All these are very attractive to the serious student. Consequently, the Lord is known as Krishna, the all-attractive one. So because he's all-attractive, therefore, anyone who is following any of these paths can find something related to Krishna that they can appreciate, like that, because it already includes all other activities that are there. There's nothing separate. So that's the point that's mentioned in faith, is that faith is there. One has that faith that whatever. That means bhakti includes all other processes, right? And so that's a literal point. Particular details of the particular process may or may not be there. But the point of the principle of why it's there and its purpose, those are all from bhakti, right? Because bhakti will always be using the highest level of them. And then as we come to the material world, then they start getting, you know, grosser and grosser. You know, just like the qualities of the jiva, the inherent qualities of the jiva, then those are there in the spiritual world very nicely manifest. And in the material world, then they become covered. And so they start to become distorted. And the more distorted they get, the lower down they get, till, you know, it gets so distorted that it's like, you know, you get animal species and all that. So they have their sense of justice and everything like that. They have their sense of, you know, friendship and camaraderie and compassion, and they have, because it's inherent in the soul. Just how it manifests is generally only for their own direct family members or their own, you know, particular grouping of their species. And outside of that, they don't care. You know, it can't go beyond. They can't include God consciousness. They just can't do that. They don't have the perception. They can't appreciate. Yeah? 2.6.180.198. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the meaning of the verse by giving evidence concerning Sukadeva Goswami and the four rishis, Sanaka, Sanat Kumar, Sanatana, and Sanandana. Thus, the Lord gave various meanings and explanations. Srila Prabhupada. That Krishna is all attractive is verified by the activities of the four rishis and Sukadeva Goswami. All of them were liberated persons, yet they were attracted by the qualities and pastimes of the Lord. It is therefore said, Mukta api lilaya vigraham kritva bhagavantam bhajante. Even liberated persons are attracted by the pastimes of Lord Krishna and thus engage in devotional service. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 24.1.12. From the very beginning of their lives, Sukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras, known as Chatushana, were liberated and self-realized on the Brahman platform. Nonetheless, they were attracted by the qualities of Krishna and they engaged in his service. The four Kumaras were attracted by the aroma of the flowers offered at the lotus feet of Krishna. And in this way, they became devotees. Sukadeva Goswami heard Srimad Bhagavatam by the mercy of his father, Vyasadeva, and he was consequently attracted to Krishna and became a great devotee. The conclusion is that the transcendental bliss experienced in the service of the Lord must be superior to Brahmananda, the bliss derived from realizing the impersonal Brahman. Right? It must be. Otherwise, then why are these great personalities attracted? Because if it's not greater, they wouldn't be, right? Because as is said by the four Kumaras, is they've already transcended all these material platforms. And so for them, there's no question of being attracted by anything material. That's the thing, how they know that what they're dealing with has to be transcendental, because they have no transcendental affinity. So they can understand that. Someone who is liberated can actually appreciate that. So that when they say, yes.
Can we say that according to what they're saying, how would they judge that personal is higher than impersonal if they judge by their own understanding and feelings?
There it's a matter of realization, what you're dealing with there. So it's not that you have the aspect of... it's not by conditioned senses. It just means that their appreciation or understanding is not as complete as it could be. That's what's going to be happening there. So that's all the more that Krishna reveals, because as they surrender to him, that's how he reciprocates. So if they only accept him as the absolute truth, then he only reciprocates as the absolute truth, right? And so we see in the Dasamul, then the first point is Krishna is the absolute truth. And we see then Jiva Goswami is establishing his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but who's coming as Brahman, because in that Brahman position, that's what everybody is appreciating. So you have to be able to switch the view that from impersonal to personal you have to be able to do that. Is that not that personal is part of the impersonal, but impersonal is part of the personal. You have to switch that. We were discussing this morning, right? So that view, that's what then has to shift. And so they've only understood a partial realization. You know, and for them at that position, then that's all they might be satisfied with that. But eventually they have to come forward, like the four Kumaras, and actually take up devotion. They may remain in that same aspect of being like performing that jnana yoga, and they're situated as sages and they perform all their activities based on knowledge like that. But now they'll move forward, they'll have rati, so it'll come into shantaras, right? So they'll get that taste in that. So now they're devotees. Well, before that, they weren't. So they were just on the Brahma Bhuta platform, but they hadn't moved forward. They haven't got that exclusive effect, absorption in the Lord. So they don't come, they don't actually get to, on the liberated platform, the point of samadhi. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj?
Yes. Maharaj? Yes.
In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's mentioned that they have Ratiyabhas. Ratiyabhas. So they have that sattvika bhavas, like, you know, they have the kind of sense of it. But when what they experience, it's like multiplied by thousands and millions of folds is what is actual rati. So through that connection, they could have that, you know, realization.
Yes, if they just connect it now to the Lord, attracted to him as a person, then they get actual rati. So that's the thing, is the form of it is basically the same. The lifestyle won't change. This four kumaras lifestyle before and after won't really change, right? And but what happens is that now it's done in devotion. So they actually are now devotees, you know. But also you talk about how before they are devotees and all that, because there is that aspect of the Ratiyabhas, and they do appreciate the form of the Lord and the position, but it's still being that aspect of, you know, from the Brahman platform, they're appreciating the localized personal aspect, right? It's not saying that they're not saying it's temporary. They're not saying it's just another aspect of Brahman that they haven't really thought about. So now when they actually appreciate that personal element, then it takes on that higher flavor. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that it's kind of like a junction between the two, you know. So then it's, you know, it's like they'll be on one side, you know, here, and then as they come to the Shantaras, it'll just come to the other side. But the form of it'll look similar. Therefore, you see, these devotees might be hanging out with other sages and stuff like that. You know, it's just like on Tapaloka, they're devotees, but it's not necessarily that all the other people on Tapaloka are devotees. Is that? Yeah, so it's a very good point, is that Ratiyabhas, is that it's close, that there's an attraction, there's something there, but it's just not properly connected because it's not connected to the person. It's connected to the experience of the Supreme. It's not about the person. Does that make sense? You know, that's the thing. Excuse me one second. Okay.
Maharaj, it seems that when we speak about transcendentalism, it's always the same example. Shukadeva Goswami means the four kumara.
Yes, because otherwise we don't have many examples, or they're the best examples. Four kumaras, Narad Muni, Shukadeva Goswami.
Yes.
They're the best examples, so you don't need any other example. Because in the Vedic thing, it's not a matter of, oh, you already said that one, you got to find a new one. It's a matter of, it works, why you won't use it. You know, you hammered the nail into the wall with a hammer. It's not that next time you have to get something else. You know, it's not like the next day you come along and that, and you bring a hammer. You're still using hammers? Come on, we use shoes now. No, it just always works. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So the thing that Sabhagoma Padachaya was missing, because it is presenting here like incarnation of Brihaspati.
Yes, so, but he's taken up. So he's very erudite. So that's why you see Lord Chaitanya even comments how expert it is.
Yes.
You know, so he's going to be better than that Digvijay pundit, yes, you know, that came, yes, along, who was, you know, we could see amazing because of the blessings of Saraswati. But, you know, his pride was so much greater. You see, is that he didn't have that ability to discuss like we see Sarvabhauma or Prakashananda Saraswati.
Yes. Yes.
So they were much more sincere. And so, you know, that was the aspect, is they didn't have to be chastised in that way so strongly. For them, it was just pointing out that, you know, this is, like he said, this is so nice and all that, and only, you know, your representative Brihaspati and this and that, which he technically is. But yes. So then he goes and shows, you know, 18 different ways more by using each of the 11 words. And then in that way, then, you know, connecting them and doing all the different things. So that's the specialness, is that he's able to put it together in that way. And so then we're going to see, you know, his reaction now, right?
Yes.
So that's why, yeah, it'll always be the same, because that was on everybody knows, and they can get into that, and even the fineness of it. Because, see, it's for us, we're used to, if they're dealing with the form or acknowledge that there is a form, then you know, they have to be devotees. And so from that side, yes, they are devotees. But at the same time, as they're the jnana, and they're still stuck with that chatus kind of aspect. Right?
Yes.
And so then you're going to have the other side. The other side is going to be that, but still, then there's more. The intensity is more. Like we said, Ratyabhas. So, you know, in here, as the Mayavadis, or the impersonalists, let's say in this case, then we're pointing out Ratyabhas as a defect.
Yes.
Right? And that is a defect. And that it's like that, but it's not, you know, because their goal isn't beyond that. But you see with the devotees, then in the beginning, then, you know, we get some taste in that for the name. So it's going to be Ratyabhas. But the point is for the devotees, it's positive. It's just a very small amount of the reality. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, you understand the position, but the realization in it is small. But with the impersonalists, then, you know, their mechanical realization is very great, but their understanding, appreciation of the Lord is even smaller.
Yes.
Right? Because they may understand the absolute and this and that. They don't understand it's coming from a person. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, that's all. So it's just this borderline, then it's something to appreciate, because the same thing can be go both ways. Like you see, you know, how it was in, where was that? Was it yesterday or? Then I think Lord Chaitanya was speaking about, and the purports, and they were talking about Varnashram Dharma. And so then how, you know, it established that in this age it won't be your process. And so then Lord Chaitanya is so careful, how so kindly given the chanting of the holy names.
Yes.
But so there's, as a spiritual process, no, it's not going to work in this age, right? Chanting of the holy name is going to work. Because in other ages, they had the piety to follow Varnashram, and engaging that without attachment in the Lord's service, then they would move forward in devotion. You know, but then in this age, the only way we could even be involved in a scientific way in Varnashram is if we're chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise, it's just like before chanting Hare Krishna, other than, let's say, those devotees in India, you know, or from Indian backgrounds, what other devotee ever heard of Varnashram before coming in contact with ISKCON? Right? They won't have heard, you know. They might have heard words like yoga or meditation or mantra or karma, but that's kind of it. I don't think we left out anything there, but there might be another word or two, but basically that's it. So it's only by chanting that one is able to function within that system. But it's just a backup to engage the body, to give it a form. But it's not, but the focus on doing those duties so perfectly and doing those without attachment for Krishna, that's not necessarily going to be the main prominence. It's going to be our chanting and other and associated with the Vaishnavas, taking prasad, worshiping the deity, you know, hearing Bhagavatam, the five aspects of the Bhagavat and the pancharatric aspects that are going to work for us. Then, because we have social system, you have to maintain yourself, you have all these things, the Varnashram is the natural form to hang that on. And so then there's some basic little things that we do, and they are basic. And but you know, for us, they're absorbing enough, they're compelling enough, like that. Because otherwise, the other things of how they do, remember, I don't remember if we went back, how much we went into it with in Manu. There was a whole chapter. He's a full chapter. There's 12 chapters in Manu. One chapter, one full chapter, was just on the Pitri Puja. You know, just one. You know, about the five debts and the Pitris. So most of it was about the Pitris and, you know, the points about those five the debts. So those fine points of going around to the house and offering the Bali Don and all that means, I think, I can't remember how many places there are around the house, but at least 16 or 18 or more, where you have to go and after you cook the rice and offering, you have to go and place it on these places with the appropriate mantra. You have to then clean the clothes you're wearing, everything like that. You know, as it is, we have enough trouble just, you know, getting together to, you know, go to the super, you know, extreme effort of pushing the button on that little, you know, that like a pot, that's electric pot that boils water itself, and then to get the top off of the, you know, instant noodles. I mean, come on, you got to work at that. And then to pour that in, you have to wait all that time, that 45 seconds it takes to boil the water and then pour it in there. And then you have to wait for it to steep until it gets, I mean, it's like, I mean, come on, it's just taking forever, you know? And this we're going to be doing in our pajamas, right? Yeah. So, you know, so let alone that you've taken your noon bath, you've put the tilak, you've put, you know, the clothes nicely and all those different things and done all that. And then you're going to, after doing that, go around the house. That's inside and out. Then putting in all the different places and all that, and then feeding the guests, and then feeding that, taking care of all the servants, taking care of anything. Then last, the husband and wife sit down to eat. You know, and if they have any close relatives or friends, they sit with them also at that time. So that's just one meal. That's the noon meal. You know, what about the night meal? What about the morning? You know, I mean, it's just so, you know, all these days, like, you know, who could, and that's just eating. You know, so it's that. So when devotees, oh, we have to follow all this Varnashram and all that kind of stuff, you know, then, you know, when devotees are coming, oh, we have to, all this Varnashram and all that. No, it's been reduced very significantly. So just major points are there. And those are the principles that basically anybody in any culture around the world can follow. It doesn't matter where you are, you can follow those. You know, it's just like Chaturmas. There's 44 main vows. 44. Right? And Lord Chaitanya gave us four of them. Four. Right? So that's less than a tenth. Right? And the 44, those are the main. Then there's another about 20, you know, that are from other shastras that, you know, are there and people follow. So it's so much less. And then we're, oh, this is fanatic and this and that, or codicy, just no grains and no beans. That's it. Right? You know, and the full rules. So it's already been given just the essence. So then it's a matter of, and that essence, and why is that? Because it's only there to assist the holy name. And so then we're chanting the holy name, and then, you know, we're taking advantage of these, and that's how we're able to be comfortably engaged. Because otherwise, then, it means if we could just all day chant and worship the deity and preach, then fine, we don't need anything else, like Haridas Thakur. Now, he's an example of, we just chant Hare Krishna, you know, and don't worry about the rules. He is the guy, right? But at the same time, as you see, he takes no position, he takes no authority, he stays out of the way, he cuts the lowest of low profile, like that, you know, like that. So you know, that's what goes together with that. We only chant Hare Krishna. And so that's, even though that's the perfectional platform, due to our conditioning, it becomes difficult. Therefore, then, one is engaged in these recommendations are there. But at the same time, you see at other places talking about Varnashram is not our process of self-realization. You know, like we said, Dasyam in the 9 processes of devotion, for the Shris and Madhvas, they tend to apply that as engaged in your occupational duty to, you know, without attachment to please the Lord. That's what Dasya means to them. And why then we... Ramananda Roy, right? Not Raghava Panda or Raghunath Das, or, but I don't know. You know, we have a rah-rah sampadaya, right? So, Ramananda Rai, then he is starting with that. And Lord Chaitanya says that's external. So for us, yes, it's the external form. It's how we engage the body and mind and all that. But it's not where the focus of our focus is. So that's why you see if the consciousness becomes too focused on it, then that can also be a distraction. And so then those who focus too much on it, then they have a problem with those who don't focus at all on it. And so then they have their problems. Does that make sense? So that balance is very, very important to understand, is that these same positions, depending upon how you're looking at it, it might be a strong position or it might be a weak position, depending upon how it's supporting the devotional, the process of pure devotion. Is that all right?
No, this is a difficulty. Yes. To get the balance is not easy. To get the balance.
No, but so that's why it's not. That's why the examples, you know, of the histories is so important. That's why Purana and Itihas becomes so important to us. Because just from the Vedic literatures, you know, it means directly the Veda themselves, and that specifically the Upanishads, then individuals are able to apply themselves into this philosophy and come to that liberated platform. But it's so much hard work. While then hearing the histories and seeing how someone did that,
yes,
then it becomes so much easier, because then we have something to compare it to, because we'll learn by comparing what we're doing to the next, and we can relate to the two.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Let's say I'm cooking, and I am cooking with a lot of oil in the frying pan. So I could show you a technique how to use less in the frying pan. Because already you have the samskar of frying things in the frying pan. But you may be using more, like you're doing a shallow fry. But you can also do it much less. Or the other way, you've only done it very light, but you can show how you can do more. Or let's say deep frying something. Instead of deep frying it, you shallow fry it. So you understand the shallow fry, you go to deep fry, or deep fry, you go to shallow fry. Because there's something that connects it, right? You go from one step to the next, and then to the next, like that.
Yes.
And so that's the whole point, is that the stories are able to show us how people practically applied these principles of devotional service.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. People have applied the practical principles of devotional, yes, okay. So that's why it's so important then learning from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in Bhagavatam, you're learning all the philosophy, you're seeing the topmost devotees, the Brajvasis, and especially the gopis. And then, you know, as pastimes, you're hearing all the philosophy. Now in Chaitanya Charitamrita, so that was, you know, that's a perfect example. Now Chaitanya Charitamrita is how people following the Gaudiya line apply the Bhagavad teachings, the Bhagavad Gita teaching, into their own life.
Yes.
And then we see how they do. And so basically most of what is there, we're following. It's, you know, Because you don't see, it doesn't get into too much detail. It'll mention something, but it doesn't get into too much detail. It doesn't have to. Because any of those details, those are already covered in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, or they're referring to things in the Vedic literature of India. You know, you want to know more about the whole thing, family, that's right there in Manu. You know, so there. But now, the attitude on which we're applying and using Manu and Krishna's service, that we're going to get from Bhagavatam. Then how we as Gaudiya specifically apply it, that we're going to get from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Does that make sense?
This is the reason why there is order to study.
There is?
Some order to study books one by one, in one special order.
An order, yes, yes. Means, yes, yes. Means, as Prabhupada said, like sugar is sweet, you can start anywhere. So if anyone reads any book at any place, they're going to get benefit. But if you want to, you know, seriously study the literatures, then you want to start as Prabhupada gave them, from the Gita, you know, Nectar Devotion, Ishupanishad, Upadeshamrita, yes. You know, the first part of Nectar Devotion. Then you're going to do Bhagavatam. Then you're going to do Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so then it makes sense. Like you see, it's not so many of the technical points of the philosophy of 11th canto are the main basis of discussion in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? They're not really talking lower than that. Like yes. You see so many places, Chaitanya Charitamrita is quoting its 11th canto Bhagavatam. You also have the other Bhagavatams, because the pure devotional service is described throughout, but it comes very obvious later, you know, like that. And so, but now we see is, you know, we can go through these technical points and read so many pages and things go very smoothly. While when we were letting, we had to, you know, really spend the time and go through everything like that. But even that is the basis of what was in the earlier nine cantos. That was then already established. Now we're trying to get the fine points there. Right? Does that make sense? So it's just naturally just based, because Bhagavad Gita is the ABCs. There isn't more philosophy than in Gita. It's not a matter of, you know, it's more detailed understanding of the same points, a deeper understanding, a broader understanding, you know, like that. That kind of aspect is there. But it's not that there's a new point, because from any philosophical point you can give from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavatam, or from Bhagavad Gita. So it's all the same knowledge. It's just, it may give more finer details or take it to a deeper level of understanding. Is that okay? Does that make sense?
Yes, nice. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, yes.
Yes, okay. Okay. From the very beginning of their lives, Sukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras, known as Chatushana, were liberated and self-realized on the Brahman platform. Right? They were just born that way, right? Nonetheless, they were attracted by the qualities of Krishna and they engaged in his service. The four Kumaras were attracted by the aroma of the flowers offered at the lotus feet of Krishna. And in this way, they became devotees, right? So you see is that other parts, they were looking at the body, they're starting to notice in that. And how they're liberated, they wouldn't be attracted by anything through the senses, but they are when it comes to the Lord. So looking at the different parts of his body and this and that, and but it's when the fragrance of the aroma of the tulsi, you know, from the lotus feet of the Lord, that then, you know, came to their nostrils. That's when they completely surrendered, because that's when they just, it pushed it over the edge. You know, they just were able to appreciate the personal form and all that. Sukadeva Goswami heard Srimad Bhagavatam by the mercy of his father, Vyasadeva, and he was consequently attracted to Krishna and became a great devotee. The conclusion is that the transcendental bliss experienced in the service of the Lord must be superior to the Brahmananda, the bliss derived from realizing the impersonal Brahman. Otherwise, why would they surrender? They were born liberated. So why would they switch? It's because the taste in that, the experience, is superior. And that's why they switched.
Maharaj, it seems that for the liberated persons, their feelings are the proof by itself. If they feel attracted to something, that's a proof that it's a spiritual thing.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's why they can. So they just know, because the point is, if they're actually liberated, because we're talking here of Brahmanandis. We're not talking Mayavadis here. Prakashananda, Bhattacharya, he is a Mayavadi. But the four Kumaras, Sukadeva, they're not. They're liberated souls. They're Brahmanandis. So they know what is Brahman, and they can tell what's not. You know, I mean, so in other words, they can distinguish illusion from, you know, but they only see everything as Brahman. So they don't have a problem with the illusion. So they can tell if it's on the transcendental platform. They may not be an authority on devotional service in that, but they can see there is something higher here, something further. And so therefore, then they've gone for self-realization. They wanted to come to this platform. They're on that platform. But now, because of that desire to come to that platform, that we see is that same desire is to go beyond that, you know, up to the best you can be. Right? So that's the whole idea, is that devotional service is about being the best you can be. And so that means the servant of Krishna. And then within that, then it just develops naturally according to your, as you commit yourself, as you surrender to Krishna, then he reciprocates, and one's appreciation becomes more and more, deeper and deeper. Is that good?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
Yes, okay. True 6.199. Upon hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation of the Atmarama verse, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was struck with wonder. He then understood Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be Krishna in person, and he thus condemned himself in the following words. Right now, he's spoken the max. He's given nine explanations of this verse, and only someone on the platform like Brihaspati could do that. So then, here's also is that he knows that that's the maximum you can get. He's the best. And then here, he gave 11. Then Lord Chaitanya gives another 18 beyond that. And they're completely different. They're not that, they're based on his and just, you know, I it's like, okay, I make the Sandesh. Then, okay, I take it. Okay, I take part of it and I mix it with some vanilla. I take another part and I put some cocoa. I take another part, I put some strawberries. I take another part, I do this. I do that way. I have 10 different sandeshes. I only made one sandesh, but I presented it in 10 different flavors. Right? You know, because you have to come up with stuff like this if you're doing 1,008 offerings, right? Yeah. So that's not what Lord Chaitanya did. He didn't just take his explanations and just, you know, put a little sprinkling of something on it. You know, I say put the sprinkling and voila. You know, he didn't do that. He gave completely different ones by defining the 11 words of the Atmarama verse, giving on that and then showing those in connection. Right? Does that make sense? So like that, then he gave. He gave each one of them and how then they connected with Atmarama. So. That way, then 18, this is beyond, and who has that intelligence? Because Brihaspati is the scholar of the demigods. You know, that's it. So, you know, who is this guy? Right? So now he has heard from his brother-in-law about how Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you had the association of pure devotees, right? And because of their relationship, he doesn't get disturbed by this. You know, if another scholar came along and said all these things, he might get upset and really argue the point. But with his brother-in-law, it's just kind of a family thing. So they are, of course, they're going to argue, you know. But at the same time, as he's not inimical. And he's rendered service. He's served the Vaishnavas, right, by taking care of them. And Vaishnavas, we mean the whole crew that came down from Bengal. So he arranged for them all places to stay, prasad, everything like that. And he's arranged for Lord Chaitanya a place to stay, you know, that he can stay permanently. So that must be the Gambira. And so then or if not, whatever, but he's staying. And so then the point is that he's rendered all this service, brought this prasad, doing all these things. But up to this point, to him, it's just the etiquettes that you follow as a grihastha and a person in his position and what you do. It wasn't in devotion too, but it was a jnata sukriti. And then getting the association of a pure devotee, like his brother-in-law. So then, you know, hearing that, now hearing Lord Chaitanya say these things and how he dealt, because he's already removed the Mayavadi, you know, calamity, you know, right? And now he's established, you know, pure devotion. And so then he with that and having that faith, now he surrenders. Right? So he's intelligent. Right? Otherwise he'd just be, you know, the big pundit that got defeated by him. But no, he's real intelligent, so then he takes up devotional service. 200 to 244. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya becomes a pure Vaishnava. Okay, that's 200 to 258. So this section is 200 to 244. Oh wow, it's just a straight. Wow, he has a lot to say here. Okay. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is certainly Lord Krishna himself, because I could not understand him. And was very proud of my own learning. I have committed many offenses. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya denounced himself as an offender and took shelter of the Lord desired to show him mercy. To show him mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allowed him to see his Vishnu form. Thus, he immediately assumed four hands. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first showed him the forehand form, then appeared before him in his original form of Krishna with a blackish complexion and a flute to his lips. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw the form of Lord Krishna manifest in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately fell down flat to offer him obeisances. He then stood up and with folded hands began to offer prayers. By the mercy of the Lord, all truths were revealed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya because Krishna reveals it. We go through the effort, we put in the time, we study, we do these, we talk, we ask questions. But the point is it's being doing this to try to render service to Krishna, to appreciate Krishna and his devotees and his pastimes, his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So that's then what makes the point. So it's revealed. It's not, oh, because I studied so much, that's why I know. No, it's because you put in the effort to please Krishna. Krishna reveals, therefore you know. Right? That's how it works. Okay. By the mercy of the Lord, all truths were revealed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he could understand the importance of chanting the holy name and distributing love of Godhead everywhere. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya composed 100 verses in a very short time. Indeed, not even Brihaspati, the priest of the heavenly planets, could compose verses as quickly. Footnote 41. The name of the book of 100 beautiful verses composed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is Shu Shloka Shataka. But so now, as before, when he gave the nine ways of understanding the Atmarama verse, that was like a representative of Brihaspati. But now that he's surrendered and Krishna has therefore given him the realization, now he's doing things that even Brihaspati would not be able to do. After hearing the 100 verses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happily embraced Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was immediately overwhelmed in ecstatic love of God and fell unconscious. Out of ecstatic love of God, the Bhattacharya shed tears and his body was stunned. He exhibited an ecstatic mood and he perspired, shook, and trembled. He sometimes danced, sometimes chanted, sometimes cried, and sometimes fell down to touch the lotus feet of the Lord. While Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was in ecstasy, Gopinath Acharya was very much pleased. The associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all laughed to see the Bhattacharya dance so. Gopinath Acharya, this laugh means that they're just so happy. It doesn't mean that they're looking, ah, look at that idiot. No, they're laughing. They're just so happy. Is that Lord Chaitanya has just taken the biggest Mayavadi in India, I mean biggest, and convinced him of Krishna consciousness by his mercy, right? You know, through his association. But he used the medium of knowledge and logic because that's what the Bhattacharya was doing. So he used that same position. And from that, he brought him to pure Krishna consciousness. Gopinath Acharya told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Sir, you have brought all this upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "You are a devotee. Because of your association, Lord Jagannath has shown him mercy." He's looking at that. Because that's the point. Yes, it is there. But Lord Chaitanya then he gave this mercy. But you see is that he qualified himself because of the association of Gopinath Acharya and his rendering of service to the Vaishnavas. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified the Bhattacharya, and when he was quieted, he offered many prayers to the Lord. Right, this is many prayers. He's already offered the 100 prayers. So this is more, right? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "My dear sir, you have delivered the entire world, but that is not a very great task. However, you have also delivered me, and that is certainly the work of very wonderful powers," right? Because others are just simple people and all that, you know, like that. So convince them is one thing. But he's Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He's a hardcore Mayavadi. It's just like, you know, that just doesn't happen. "I had become dull-headed due to reading too many books on logic," right? You're thinking you'll become smarter, you become more dull. "Consequently, I've become like an iron bar. Nonetheless, you have melted me, and therefore your influence is very great." After hearing the prayers offered by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence, and the Bhattacharya, through Gopinath Acharya, induced the Lord to accept lunch there. Early the next following morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Lord Jagannath in the temple, and he saw the Lord rise from his bed. The priest there presented him with garlands and prasadam that had been offered to Lord Jagannath. This pleased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much. Carefully tying the prasadam and garlands in a cloth, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hastened to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He arrived at the Bhattacharya's house a little before sunrise, just when the Bhattacharya was arising from bed. As Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya rose from bed, he distinctly chanted, "Krishna, Krishna." Lord Chaitanya was very pleased to hear him chant the holy name of Krishna, because that's the process when it's mentioned in the discussion with Sanatana Goswami, when he's describing the whole process of, you know, how sadhana, the devotees follow the sadhana. So the first thing on arising is to chant the holy name of the Lord, and like chant Krishna, Krishna, or like whatever, chanting, you know, Maha Mantra, something, you chant Krishna's name. And so by doing that, you clear the ignorances there from sleeping. Then one offers obeisances. Then one, you know, puts away the bed. Then, you know, like this, it continues. But the first thing is this. So now that he was doing this, then you could see is, you know, that it's actually the transformation is complete, right? So he's doing this out of his natural spontaneous affection. While us who don't have that spontaneous affection, then we're asked the first thing when you wake up, chant Krishna, Krishna, right? Or someplace that's Krishna, 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 right? You got three Krishnas, right? So, yeah. No, is it two Krishna? No, is it three Krishna? No, no, it's only two. I want three. Like, yeah. Don't get into that. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased to hear him chant the holy name of Krishna. The Bhattacharya noticed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu outside. With great haste, he went to see him and offered prayers unto his lotus feet. The Bhattacharya offered a carpet for the Lord to sit upon. Both of them sat there. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened the prasadam and placed it in the hands of the Bhattacharya. At that time, the Bhattacharya had not even washed his mouth, nor had he taken his bath or finished his morning duties. Nonetheless, he was very pleased to receive the prasadam of Lord Jagannath. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the dullness in the mind of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was eradicated. After reciting the following two verses, he ate the prasadam offered to him. The Bhattacharya said, "One should eat the Mahaprasad of the Lord immediately upon receiving it, even though it is dried up, stale, or brought from a distant country. One should consider neither time nor place. The prasadam of Lord Krishna is to be eaten by gentlemen as soon as it is received. There should be no hesitation." Right? So Krishna sends it. When Krishna comes, he's the most important thing. So immediately then one accepts it. So we see he's doing this. Otherwise, as a Mayavadi, as a Smarta, then he's naturally going to thank you very much, so kind like that. And he just put it, I'll get to this. I just have to take my bath, fresh. He would have done all that, done all his mantra tantra and puranadis and all that. Then he would have come and then honored the prasad like that. But now he just immediately just honors because it's Krishna. It's directly Krishna. So anytime you can be in contact with Krishna, Krishna's come, therefore. And here he has Krishna coming delivered by Krishna, right? Yeah, does that make sense? So this is the direct meaning of from Krishna, you know, for, you know, by Krishna, you know, that you, that yeah. Okay. There are no regulative principles concerning time and place. This is the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, 42. These verses are quoted from the Padma Purana. So this is the standard. You know, so it's a matter of the consideration and honor for Krishna, not just the opportunity that you want to eat. So, but if it does come like that, you eat. Even if you like just to eat. But it's not that you make an arrangement with your friend to bring Mahaprasad, you know, every morning, you know, when it's time to wake up, you know. Okay, we're getting up at 3:30. Can you bring, you know, some Mahaprasad at that time? Oh, Mahaprasad, yeah, great. Just, yeah, you don't necessarily do that. What we see is that whenever you come across someone's brought, you always accept. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see this. He became ecstatic in love of Godhead and embraced Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The Lord and the servant embraced each other and began to dance. Simply by touching each other, they became ecstatic. As they danced and embraced, spiritual emotions, symptoms manifested in their bodies. They perspired, trembled, and shed tears. And the Lord began to speak in his ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Today I've conquered the three worlds very easily. Today I've ascended to the spiritual world." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "I think that today all my desires have been fulfilled because I see that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has acquired faith in the Mahaprasadam of Lord Jagannath. Indeed, today I've undoubtedly taken shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and Krishna without reservation has become very merciful towards you. My dear Bhattacharya, today you have been released from material bondage in the bodily conception of life. You have cut to pieces the shackles of the illusory energy. Today your mind has become fit to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna because, surpassing the Vedic regulative principles, you have eaten the remnants of food of the Lord." Right? Because he says you've surpassed the regulative principles, but it doesn't surpass the principle. Right? In other words, there's principles of Krishna consciousness, and then there is regulations according to those principles to engage us. So when you surpass the regulations like that by just direct principles, that you're always absorbed in Krishna, you always render service to Krishna, you always appreciate like that, always remembering Krishna, not forgetting, then you're already accomplishing what that regulation is for. Because if there wasn't regulation, what time, if you're getting up at, 3:30 in the morning, what time would you be eating if you were not a devotee and you didn't have a regulation of the Vedas? Right? You'd be eating at that time. You know, you might brush your teeth, you might not brush your teeth. Who knows, you know? So the whole point is the regulation is so that you have your time when you eat like this. But here is that prasad just came on its own. So it's a different thing. So that absorption in Krishna. So the other one you're regulating so that we don't become distracted by our material desires. And here is that you're absorbed in Krishna. So that's the purpose of the rules. So you're already accomplishing the rules. So that's why they say beyond the rules. Because it's not about the rule. It's about being absorbed in Krishna. When a person takes, Lord Chaitanya is continuing, when a person takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without reservation, the unlimited merciful Lord bestows his costless mercy upon him. Thus he can pass over the insurmountable ocean of nations. Those whose intelligence is fixed in the bodily concept who think, I am this body, are fit food for dogs and jackals. That means because after they die, then the dogs and jackals will eat them. So they're fit food for them. The Supreme Lord never bestows his mercy upon such people. 43. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2. No. 10.2, how do you get that? 2.7.42. After speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence. From that day on, the Bhattacharya was free because of his false pride had been dismantled. Right, so it's false pride that is the problem. Prabhupada mentions that false ego is the demarcation between the material and spiritual world. Right, so if you're free from false ego, then you're on the spiritual platform. But if you're not, then you are on the material platform. So that's the distinction. Right? Is whether there's false ego. So his false pride has been dismantled. So because of that, now he's no longer, on the material platform. From that day on, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did not know anything but the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And from that day, he could explain the revealed scriptures only in accordance with the process of devotional service, right? He gave up all that speculation that was there because he's heard the proper understanding from Lord Chaitanya. And he has accepted that, he has surrendered, and then the Lord has revealed all this to him. So that means now all of his technical knowledge now is all being used to explain the scriptures in connection with Krishna and devotional service. Seeing that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was firmly fixed in the cult of Vaishnavism, because cult means culture, that you're cultivating something. Right, so it's not a bad word. People use it as a bad word, but it's not. Gopinath Acharya, his brother-in-law, began to dance, clap his hands, and chant Hari Hari. The next day, Bhattacharya went to visit the temple of Lord Jagannath. Before he reached the temple, he went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Bhattacharya fell down flat to offer him respects. After offering various prayers to him, he spoke of his previous bad disposition with great humility. Then the Bhattacharya asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which item is most important in the execution of devotional service? The Lord replied that the most important item was the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Right? So he's bringing out, that's the most important thing you do. Right? But Chaitanya said, in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Footnote 44. This is from the Brihannaradiya Purana 38.126. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very elaborately explained the Harinama verse of the Brihannaradiya Purana, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was struck with wonder to hear his explanation. Gopinath Acharya reminded Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, my dear Bhattacharya, what I foretold to you has now taken place. Srila Prabhupada. Previously, Gopinath Acharya had informed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that when he would be blessed by the Lord, he would thoroughly understand the transcendental process of devotional service, right? Because before he said, until you're blessed by him, you won't understand anything. Just because you're a scholar doesn't mean you'll understand devotional service. This prediction was now fulfilled, right? So he says, well, you know, at some point you'll understand like this. The Bhattacharya was fully converted to the cult of Vaishnavism, and he was following the principles automatically without being pressured. But he did, so his realization, he values it. He's going to do it whether there's anybody there or not or anything. In the Bhagavad Gita 2.40 is therefore said, Swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayata. Simply by performing a little devotional service, one can escape the greatest danger. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had been in the greatest danger because he had adhered to Mayavadi philosophy. Somehow or other, he came into contact with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and became a perfect devotee. In this way, he was saved from the great fall down of impersonalism, right? Because Prabhupada, you know, always asked, what's the next birth, you know, for these Mayavadis and that? And as they were walking wherever they'd be in Los Angeles or wherever they are. And I don't know if you have it in other places in the world, but America, most of the time, they do the sidewalks with cement, you know, the cast. And then with some time, they settle and they crack. And where there's cracks, then you get grass growing in. So they'll be there. And then Prabhupada pointed at the grass growing out of the sidewalk. Because it's all there is cement, and then there's this grass growing there. Right, because they fall in the rain. So you see Mayavadis, you know, like that. And so then, I don't remember if it was Prabhupada or some devotees, they were walking, then they were going, and this devotee was kind of moving in an erratic way. And when questioned why he's doing that, he pointed out, I'm stepping on all the blades of grass, you know, all the Mayavadis. Like that, you know, so, yeah. So that's the whole point, you know, he's been saved. Greatest danger, he had adhered to Mayavad philosophy, because it'll end up as grass, right? And I don't mean the, what do you call it? Your Rasta, you know, explanation. I mean, just, you know, growing in a crack in the sidewalk kind of grass. Somehow or other, he came into contact with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and became a perfect devotee. In this way, he was saved from the great fall down of the impersonalism, right? Because it's a fall down. Because then when they get into that, especially the Mayavadis, then they can't move forward into the personal. They get stuck with that. 2.6, 2.45 to 2.55. Offering his obeisances to Gopinath Acharya, the Bhattacharya said, because I am related to you and you are a devotee, by your mercy, the Lord has shown mercy to me. You are a first-class devotee, whereas I am in the darkness of logical arguments. Because of your relationship with the Lord has bestowed his benediction upon me. Right? So because he's saying, because I associated with you and you have a relationship with the Lord, therefore the Lord was merciful to me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with this humble statement. After embracing the Bhattacharya, he said, now, go see Lord Jagannath in the temple. After visiting the temple of Lord Jagannath, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya returned home with Jagannananda and Damodar. The Bhattacharya brought large quantities of excellent food remnants blessed by Lord Jagannath. All this prasadam was given to his own Brahmin servant, along with Jagannananda and Damodar. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then composed two verses on the leaf of a palm tree. Giving the palm leaf to Jagannananda Prabhu, the Bhattacharya requested him to deliver it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagannananda and Damodar then returned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bringing him both the prasada and the palm leaf on which the verses were composed. But Mukunda Dutta took the palm leaf from the hands of Jagannananda before he could deliver it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mukundadatta then copied the two verses on the wall outside the room. After this, Jagannanda took the palm leaf from Mukundadatta and delivered it to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right, so there's a copy of it. I think later on this will come up about this copy. Right. As soon as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the two verses, he immediately tore up the palm leaf. However, all the devotees read these verses on the wall, outside wall, and they all kept them within their hearts. The verses read as follows. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to teach us real knowledge. His devotional service and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. His devotional service and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. Right? If it's helping you in Krishna consciousness, it's good. If it's not helping you, there's no attachment. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Right? So it's the ability to connect it to Krishna and you become inspired. So that's the good part, that you're engaged in the service. But you're not attached. It's connection with Krishna that's important. Right? So, yeah. He has descended because he's an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. Let my consciousness, which is like a honeybee, take shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has just now appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to teach the ancient system of devotional service to himself. That means he's teaching devotional service to himself. He's not teaching the system of devotional service, you know, to himself. Does that make sense? Yes? You understand the difference? Yeah, in other words, he's teaching devotional service to Krishna. This system had almost been lost due to the influence of time. Footnote 45. These verses are included in the Chaitanya Chandradoy Nataka, 674-75, by Sri Kavi Karnapur, the Prabhupada. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Yada yada yadharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya taratmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. This is also the case with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world as a disguised incarnation of Krishna, but his appearance is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mahabharata, and other Vedic scriptures. He appeared in order to teach the fallen souls in this material world. For in this age of Kali, almost everyone has become attached to fruitive and ritualistic activities and mental speculation. Consequently, there is a great need to revive the system of devotional service. The Lord himself personally came down disguised as a devotee so that the fallen populace might take advantage of the Lord's example. Yeah. So everyone gets more into the karma jnana and all these other aspects of speculation and fruitive activities. So they're unable to appreciate devotional service. So then Lord Chaitanya has come to reestablish this. At the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advised complete surrender unto him, promising all protection to his devotee. Unfortunately, people are so fallen that they cannot accept the instructions of Lord Krishna. Therefore, Krishna returned with the same mission, but he executed it in a different way. As Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he ordered us to surrender unto him. But as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us how to surrender to Krishna, right? So Gita, Krishna orders to surrender, and Lord Chaitanya shows us how to surrender. So that's what we were discussing earlier in the class, that this example that's given in these Puranic literatures, then that we actually can use it ourselves directly to apply it. because others in other ages, maybe they were more intelligent. But even then, you see is that the elements of karma and jnana can be quite distracting, especially when they work better, right? Therefore, he's praised by the Goswamis. Namo Maha Varanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate. Lord Sri Krishna is certainly the personality of Godhead, but he is not as magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Krishna simply gave orders for one to become his devotee, Manmanab Havamad Bhaktaha. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually taught the process of Krishna consciousness. For one wants to become a devotee of Krishna, he must first take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following the footsteps of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and the other exalted devotees. 2.6, 256-258. These two verses composed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya will always declare his name and fame as loudly as a pounding drum, for they have become pearl necklaces around the necks of all devotees. Indeed, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became an unalloyed devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He did not know anything but the service of the Lord. The Bhattacharya always chanted the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, son of Mother Sachi, and reservoir of all good qualities. Indeed, chanting the holy names became his meditation. Verses 259-286. The discussion on Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 10, 14, 8. 2.6, 59-61. One day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and, after offering obeisances, began to recite a verse. He began to quote one of Lord Brahma's prayers from the Srimad Bhagavatam, but he changed two syllables at the end of the verse. The Bhattacharya recited, "One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances unto you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for becoming your unalloyed devotee." Srila Prabhupada. When reciting this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya changed the original meaning from Muktipade to Bhaktipade. Mukti means liberation and merging into the impersonal Brahman effulgence. And bhakti means rendering transcendental service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of having developed pure devotional service, the Bhattacharya did not like the word Muktipade, which refers to the impersonal Brahman feature of the Lord. However, he was not authorized to change a word in Srimad Bhagavatam, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will explain. Although the Bhattacharya changed the word in his devotional ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not approve of it. 262-266. Wow, everything's twos and sixes. 266-266. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately pointed out, "In that verse, the word is Muktipade, but you have changed it to Bhaktipade. What is your intention?" Right, so he's asking, "You're doing this. Why are you doing this?" Instead of just saying, "Don't do this," he says, "What's your intention?" Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "The awakening of pure love of Godhead, which is the result of devotional service, far surpasses liberation from material bondage. For those averse to devotional service, merging into the Brahman effulgence is a kind of punishment." Right, so since they're not absorbed in the Lord, they merge into the Brahman, so that's actually a punishment because then they're not doing anything. They're just sitting there. And so even though they're existing, you're not dealing with the other parts of the soul. You know, just like, okay, let us say I'm taking care of one part of the body very nicely, but ignoring all the other parts, right? You know, so the point is it has to be complete. The Bhattacharya continued, "The impersonalists who do not accept the transcendental form of Lord Sri Krishna and the demons who are always engaged in blaspheming and fighting with him are punished by being merged into the Brahman effulgence. But that does not happen to the person engaged in devotional service of the Lord. There are five kinds of liberation. Salokya, Samipya, Swarupya, Sarupya, Sarshti, and Sayujya. They all start with Sa. So Sa Lokya. So it says Lokya, Mipya, Rupya, Rishti, and Yujya. I never noticed that before. Srila Prabhupada. Salokya means that after material liberation, one is promoted to the planet where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. Samipya means remaining in the association of the Personality of Godhead. Sarupya means attaining a four-handed form exactly like that of the Lord. Sharshti means attaining opulences like those of the Supreme Lord. And Sayujya means merging into the Brahman effulgence of the Lord. These are the five types of liberation. 2.6, 2.6.7, 2.6.8. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued. If there is a chance to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a pure devotee sometimes accepts the Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, or Sharshti forms of liberation, but never Sayujya. A pure devotee does not like even to hear about Sayujya Mukti, which inspires him with fear and hatred. Indeed, the pure devotee would rather go to hell than merge into the effulgence of the Lord. Because in hell, you can still think about the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has sung, Kaivalyam Narakayate. The impersonalist conception of becoming one with the effulgence of the Lord is exactly like hell. Therefore, of the five types of liberation, the first four, Salokya, Samipya, Sarupya, and Sharshti, are not so undesirable because they can be avenues of service to the Lord. That means you're on the same planet, but unless you do service, so you may be an associate, but you do service. You might have the same form, but you'd want to do service. You might have great opulences like the Lord, but you still want to do service. So the whole idea is it still comes down to without service to Krishna, without bhakti, then even these aspects of liberation are useless. But if they're seen in the context of serving Krishna, then they become useful. But sayujya, because there's no service, then it is rejected. Nonetheless, the pure devotee of Lord Krishna rejects even these types of liberation. He aspires only to serve Krishna birth after birth. He is not very interested in stopping the repetition of birth, for he simply desires to serve the Lord, even in hellish circumstances. Consequently, the pure devotee hates and fears Sayujya Mukti, merging into the effulgence of the Lord. This merging is due to an offense committed against the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and therefore it is not at all desirable for a pure devotee, because they're going against the form of the Lord, and because of that, then they come to this position. So they're just removing that idea of the Lord, you know, it's the personal form.
Maharaj?
2.6, yes.
In Preeti Sandarbha, it actually begins with this aspect of liberation. And then there, Jiva Goswami gives like out of these four, like no liberations also. Then there is an order because the Salokya is the first one, and then you go higher, and the Samipya is considered as the best because there you are actually interacting with the Lord.
Okay, so Samipya is the associate.
Yeah, is to always be an associate. Because of that interaction, personal interaction of the Lord, it is considered as the best.
Okay.
And then after that, he states that the actual liberation is attaining that preeti. Attaining preeti to the Lord is the real aspect of liberation. And all
yes,
this,
yes.
Which are conducive, then they are accepted. That.
Yeah, then they have some meaning. Did he also mention... in the order with the Sharshti and Sarupya, then which
yes,
one
yes,
is?
He mentioned, but I'm not remembering exactly.
No.
I think first is Rupya and then opulences then. If I'm, it's not
okay.
Like exactly, I remember.
Okay. 2.6, 2.6.9, 2.72. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, There are two types of Sayuja Mukti, merging into the Brahman effulgence and merging into the personal body of the Lord. Merging into the Lord's body is even more abominable.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.